code of this message is B16ANCC02. The following is message number 2 of the 2016 International Chinese Speaking Conference given at the Ministry Conference Center in Anaheim, California, on the morning of February the 13th, 2016. The code is B16ANCC02. Series title, The Gospel. Message number 2, title, The Gospel of the Grace of God. Scripture reading, Acts 20:24, verses 32, Ephesians 3:2, 4:29, 2 Corinthians 13:14, 12:9, Galatians 6:18, Revelation 22:21. The code of this message is B16ANCC02.
This morning, we come to message 2 of this conference. The title is The Gospel of the Grace of God. This term, the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God, mainly come from the first verse in your outline, Acts 20:24. Here, Paul is at the last journey. Here, he shared a heavy word. He said, I consider my life of no account as if precious to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to solemnly testify of the gospel of the grace of God. This word of Paul is to tell us that for Paul's entire life, he testified this one thing, that is the gospel of the grace of God. This shows us the gospel of the grace of God is not a small thing. He said he not just testified concerning the gospel, but the gospel of the grace of God. And to testify means that not only he himself has seen this gospel, but he himself is the beneficiary, the recipient of this gospel, so that he is willing to spend his entire life to testify concerning the gospel of the grace of God. We know among the New Testament writers, Paul is unique. In his epistles, he mentioned this word, grace, many times. He said he labored not because of himself, but because of the grace of God. He also had thorns in his back, but he said the grace of God is sufficient for him. So his entire life is a testimony of the grace of God. Here in Acts 20:24, he said he considered his life of no account. His only wish is to testify this one thing, that is the gospel of the grace of God. Thus, we must know what is grace. Today, this term, grace, is not only used by Christians, but also by unbelievers. But we discover that many people do not have an adequate understanding of this term. Many people, they actually misunderstand this term, or their understanding is greatly lacking. When the gospel was preached to China in the 19th century, many missionaries sacrificed their life and brought gospel, the Bible, to China. But in the gospel that they brought, the truth they brought, it is incomplete. Especially concerning this matter of grace, there are many confusing things. So in the early days, when Brother Ni, Watchman Ni, was raised up by the Lord, he not only preached the gospel, but he also was commissioned to correct all these erroneous teachings concerning the gospel. For example, in the Gospel of God, which by Watchman Ni, he listed 50 gospel questions. His burden was not only to preach the gospel, but also to teach the believers concerning the gospel. because many of us may not even understand what is the gospel. The first question was not concerning forgiveness or man's fall. The first question he asked was about man's fall. He said, is grace given to man according to man's merit? Should grace be given to man based on his works? He asked many questions regarding how the relationship between grace and man. Then he said, should man be saved by his good works? Should man be saved by his behavior? Would God not save a man because he's a bad man? Would God say only the good man but not the bad man? Would he just freely save someone because of his love? All these questions seem to be easy to answer for us, but how many of us actually can answer these questions? It all together depends on whether or not we understand grace correctly. The first question he asks is that we need to know clearly what grace is. Grace is not to give us something we deserve. Second, grace is not to make up our lack beside what we have. Number three, it will not be given to us based on our works. And it will also not be given to us any less because of our lack. It will not make us a debtor. Number six, God will not just forgive our sins without any cost. Here, he emphasized that our God is not careless, not without principle. He will not forgive our sins without a proper procedure, without our paying any price. But that price actually had been paid by himself. Therefore, he did not forgive us carelessly and without a proper procedure. And number seven, God also does not forgive our sins directly. So in the Gospel of God, Brother Ni also talked about the nature of grace. Number one, grace has nothing to do with man's sin. He said that we are just like a broken vessels shattering into pieces on the ground. Some of us are broken in half, some are broken into pieces. We're all broken vessels. We all need to be restored. There are only good sinners and bad sinners, but we are all sinners. We all need his restoration. So God's grace have nothing to do with our sins. Whether you sin more, whether you sin less, that has nothing to do with the grace you receive. We should not say, oh, because I've sinned so much, I'm not worthy of God's grace. Actually, God's grace has nothing to do with man's sins. Number two, God's grace has nothing to do with man's merits. It does not depend on how much effort you put in, whether you have 30%, 70% efforts. That has nothing to do with God's grace. He said, no, if you have that concept, actually, you do not deserve, you're not worthy of God's grace. A man may be very rich, whether I give him $1, well, if I give him $1, that is a shame to him. Because someone who thinks highly of himself will not be willing to receive any help from others. God only gives grace to the humble. God's grace has nothing to do with man's merit. And Watchmeni also point out that God's grace has nothing to do with man's responsibility. God does not give us grace so that will make us a debtor to do good. Actually, what he gave us is something that we can never repay. Never repay. Brother, sister, can you repay for your salvation? Can you repay for God's grace, for sanctification? Everything God gives us is not something that we can repay. Therefore, grace has nothing to do with man's responsibility. Therefore, at the beginning, we hope all the brothers and sisters, including gospel friends, we hope that we will have an adequate understanding of grace. Grace has nothing to do with man's sins. Grace has nothing to do with man's merits. And grace has nothing to do with man's responsibility. I hope we will all see that God has given us grace unconditionally. He gave himself to us freely in this message. That's the first thing we need to see. According to the Bible, what is the definition of grace? Let's turn to your outline, Romans 1. Let's read it together. Grace is God himself in Christ as the Spirit given to us, gained by us, enjoyed by us. The gospel of the grace of God is the stewardship of grace to dispense God into people for their enjoyment. We have, most of us have heard this term, grace, very often, for many times. John said, the word became flesh, tabernacle among us, full of grace and reality. We brothers and sisters are all very familiar with this verse. This verse tells us that if God had not become flesh, if he had not become a man, the Lord Jesus, then he would not be grace to us. He's so rich, so glorious, so holy and righteous. Such a God who was far from us, one day became flesh, tabernacle among us, full of grace and reality. Therefore, through the Word became flesh, God became touchable. He became enjoyable, tangible. Such a God became our grace. Brothers and sisters, our God is not visible, but he is attainable. We can obtain him. That is grace. John 1:17 says, the law was given through Moses. Grace and reality came through Jesus Christ. When we see our Lord, we know that grace has come. Our Lord, outwardly speaking, seems to be a common man, just like you and me. He lived on the earth for 33 and a half years. During his human living, we've discovered there are too many incidents of the manifestation of grace. When the Lord was living on the earth, he lived a life just like us. On the one hand, that is right. But if we study the New Testament carefully, we will discover that there are too many things that he did which we would never be able to do. He did many things that we can never do. His human living was so sweet, so balanced, so glorious. This is not something we can do, but he did it. His death is an all-inclusive death, not like the death of human beings. And his death is not just a sorrowful event. His death is all-inclusive. In his death, there are many great accomplishments. So is his resurrection. Only he resurrected. Only he could ascend to the heaven. When we see this Lord, we must say that, oh, he truly is grace. He accomplished incarnation. He lived out a human living. He accomplished an all-inclusive death. And he also accomplished ascension, resurrection. All these things have shown us that grace came through Jesus Christ. Therefore, A says, the grace given to us in Christ was bestowed on us before the world began. Brothers and sisters, we should never think that God gave us grace is something that he added by accident. Actually, in his eternal counsel, eternal plan, he has decided to dispense himself into us. This next point show us that grace is God in Christ as the Spirit given to us. Romans 1 is the best definition of grace. And A says that in the eternity past, he had determined to give grace to us. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, God has saved us not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the times of the ages. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God bringing salvation to all men has appeared. Therefore, our God shows us here that he wants to give grace to all men. And he determined this before the times of the ages, in eternity past. No matter how you feel, what your condition is, none of this will distract him from his purpose. And the grace that he determined to give us is for all men, irrespective of persons, whether you're rich or poor, no matter what background is, and regardless of your morality, God has determined to give his grace to us. Brothers and sisters, which one of us has not received his grace? We are here because of this grace. We are included in the all men. We are all in the realm of his grace. It's not because of what we have done after we are born that God has given grace to us. No, before we were born, even before we have done anything, even before we have existed, God has determined to give his grace to us. So B and to D show us that this God went through a process in order to dispense himself into us, and that is grace. Brothers and sisters, grace is the consummated process and consummated triune God. Let's read B together. God, who was in the beginning, became flesh in time as grace for man to receive, possess, and enjoy, making God contactable, touchable, receivable, experienceable, enterable, and enjoyable. C. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the bountiful supply of the triune God, who is embodied in the Son and realized as the life-giving Spirit, enjoyed by us through the exercise of our Spirit. D. Day by day, a marvelous divine transmission should be taking place. God is supplying the Spirit of grace bountifully, and we should be receiving and dispensing the Spirit of grace continually. Therefore, grace is this incarnated God. From point B, C, D, we see that God first is the Father embodying the Son, realized as the Spirit, to enter into our spirit to be our enjoyment. So B tells us that from in the beginning, God became flesh as grace for us to receive. And point C tells us that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and D talk about the Spirit of grace. This term is specially used in Hebrews 10:29. This Spirit is the means through which grace is given to us. This grace is nothing other than the process and consummated triune God coming into our spirit to be our enjoyment. E. And show us how we can daily receive this grace and flow out this grace to be the stewards of grace. God, and here we have many practical ways. Let's read E. The way to daily receive grace so that we may flow our grace is to turn to the Spirit, exercise the Spirit, and enthrone the Lord. Here is a practical way. The way to receive grace and to flow out grace is by turning to our Spirit, exercising the Spirit, and enthrone the Lord. New Testament tells us emphatically that God's grace is with our spirit. The Lord's grace is not with our mind, emotion, or will. We all know that in our daily life, that our enemy is everywhere, using every means to draw us out of our spirit. Whenever we are drawn out of our spirit, we are out of grace. Whenever we leave our spirit, we fall into the fallen mind, fallen emotion, and fallen will. Whether in our family life, in our job, or in schools, we can all testify that whenever we do not live in our spirit, it is very easy for us to argue with people. In our family, when we talk with our spouse, it's very easy to argue. Whether with our parents, with our children, it's easy to have argument. And when we argue, we have fallen into our emotion. Our emotion have been stirred up. You may feel that you have been wronged. You feel you have been blamed by someone. You feel uncomfortable. Your emotion is stirred up, so you want to express yourself. Then you exercise your mind. You think about many reasons to vindicate yourself. And finally, you will exercise your will to tell yourself, I must insist to the end. But the more you do this, the less grace you have. The more you fall into death and darkness. Just at the moment you're going to argue with someone, from somewhere else, not from your mind, emotion, and will, but from a deeper part of your being, there will be a voice. Stop it. Stop it. Do not speak anymore. There's no need to argue. Brother, sister, what is that? That is grace. And from this grace, there will be patience. There will be forbearance. There will be forgiveness. There will be a deep joy. Originally, you want to insist to the end, or you want to argue, but at the end, you realize the Lord in you is telling you, what's the point? Didn't I go through the same thing? I was wrong. I was crucified on the cross. I was like a lamb led to be slaughtered without uttering a word. I was such a one. I'm such a process trying God. Now He is in us as our grace. Brothers, sisters, whenever we are not in our spirit, we have no grace. And whenever we are in our spirit, we are full of grace. So every day we need to receive grace and flow out grace by the way in this point, by turning to the Spirit, exercise the Spirit, and enthrone the Lord. Let's read small one. The throne of grace is in our spirit, and we need to receive the abundance of grace into our inward parts so that grace may reign within us, for us to reign in life over Satan, sin, and death. 2. Whenever we come to the throne of grace by turning to our spirit and calling on the name of the Lord, we should enthrone the Lord, giving Him the headship, the kingship, and the lordship within us. New Testament, in a marvelous way, tells us that grace reigns. Grace reigns. This is from Romans 5:21. Just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness. It is so sweet to say that grace reign. When you say the Lord reign, it might be something objective. But when you say grace reign, that is very subjective. That means the process triune God is mingled with our spirit, is in us to reign with us. We must admit that how can we ever reign? We have lived for quite a while in our human life. We can only testify that we are terrible king. We cannot control our own life. We cannot control our own time. We cannot even control our own thoughts, what we see, what we say. We cannot even reign in ourselves. But grace reigns. This Lord in us is living in us and reigning with us. He reigns over our time. He's the best at this. He knows how when to become a man. He knows when he should meet that Samaritan woman. He knows that when he should prepare the fish with the coin for Peter. He knows when he should go to the cross to be crucified to fulfill the prophecy in Daniel. He is the Lord of the universe. He can rule the whole universe. He can reign. We cannot reign in any way. We need to enthrone him. When we enthrone him, we can testify that from this throne, there is the river of grace flowing out of this throne. That is why the New Testament called this throne the throne of grace. Let's read 3. God's throne is the source of the flowing grace. Whenever we fail to enthrone the Lord, dethrone him, the flow of grace stops. 4. If we enthrone the Lord Jesus within us, the Spirit, as rivers of living water, will flow out from the throne of grace to supply us. In this way, we shall receive grace, enjoy grace, and minister grace to others. If we want to experience grace more, we need to call on the Lord more. We need to exercise our spirit more. Turn back to our spirit. Come to the throne of grace. And let him flow out the grace as a river into us. The more we enjoy these rivers of grace, the more we can flow out this grace to others, that we may become the steward of the very grace of God. Whenever we are not in our spirit, we will realize that we cannot serve. We have nothing to give others. So here, the brothers give us a secret. The secret is to come to the throne of grace, to receive grace, so we may flow out grace. Let's read F. The way to daily receive grace so that we may dispense grace is through the blood, the word, the spirit, and the church. And then the 4 points underneath tell us about blood, word, spirit, and the church. Let's read 1. The redeeming blood, the blood of the covenant, God's own blood, brings sinful, corrupted people into the eternal enjoyment of God. If we do not know our own unworthiness, if we do not admit that we need a cleansing of the blood, then it will be very difficult for us to have a good conscience to supply grace to others. So one, we must experience this redeeming blood so that we may stand in a humble position to be one who receives grace and flow out this grace to others. Let's read 2. The word of God can be eaten by us to become the word of his grace as the gladness and joy of our heart. Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I ate them. And your word became to me the gladness and joy of my heart. In Jeremiah's time, he faced the degradation of Israel, the unjust treatment of the kings, and the judgment of God on his people. That's why he is called a weeping prophet. But he could testify that he found God's word and he ate it. God's word became his gladness and joy. Today, as we serve in the church, do not be disappointed by your environments. But we need to enjoy God's word more. The more we enjoy God's word, the more we can supply the word of grace. Paul in Acts 20 says that this grace can build you up and cause you to receive the glorious inheritance. Therefore, word is crucial. Let's read three. The Spirit of grace as the bountiful supply of the processed and consummated God is the oil of exultant joy with which we are anointed as the partners of Christ. Hebrews 1:9 says, "You have loved righteousness and hate lawlessness, and you have anointed you with the oil of exultant joy about your partners." Here we can receive this oil of exultant joy. Today our Lord has truly blessed us. Who are we that we can receive such a grace, that we can be in the same position, in the same economy as He? We can be in the same economy of the universe to share the same goal, same economy, and so that this economy will become our stewardship. Oh, today we are His partners. The secret to be His partners is to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with His oil. Oh, brother, sister, do you have this oil of exultant joy? When you are filled with His oil, you are His partners. You are in this glorious economy with Him together. Let's read four. The Church of God experiences the fresh and refreshing grace of God as a descending dew, which comes to us from the heavens through God's compassions to water and transform us. Psalm 133 says, "Oh, how good it is that the brothers dwell in unity, like the dew of Hermon that came upon the mountain of Zion, like the oil upon Aaron's beard, because there is God's commanded blessing, life forever." Here, Zion and Aaron typify the church. The church is the new man, and it's also the Lord's expression on the earth. The dew is nothing other than the grace from heavens. Here, he tells us that the dew of Hermon does not descend upon any spiritual giants or on any celebrity, but this dew descends on Mount Zion. Mount Zion typifies the church. And do we want to enjoy grace more? Oh, we need to stay in the church. As we stay in the church, we will have a greater grace. Our measure will be enlarged to enjoy, to receive more grace. Yes, you can read the Bible at home. You can pursue the Lord. You can pray. But when we come together to pursue together, to pray together, we can testify that our measure has been enlarged, that God has poured more grace upon us, and we can enjoy His grace in a more abundant way, in a greater way, and we can flow out His grace even more. How about let's read that two practical ways to enjoy grace. Let's read E and F together again. E and F. The way to daily receive grace so that we may flow our grace is to turn to the Spirit, exercise the Spirit, and enthrone the Lord. F. The way to daily receive grace so that we may dispense grace is through the blood, the word, the Spirit, and the church. Thank the Lord. Now we come to Romans number 2. Let's read it together. Paul, in his ministry, solemnly testified of the gospel of the grace of God to minister God into people in his writings. Paul unveils to us what the grace of God is. This message's title is The Gospel of the Grace of God. This phrase, the gospel of the grace of God, should be clear to us. We should know its source. It comes from Acts 20:24. We should all know this. Paul, in his journey, he came to Miletus. He asked the elders of Ephesus to come to him, and he had a long discourse with him. Then, in verse 24, he testified that he considered his life of no account as if precious to himself. His only hope is that he will finish his course and the ministry which he has received from the Lord Jesus to solemnly testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So here, there is a very crucial point. Paul said that what he received is the ministry from the Lord. What is that ministry? That ministry is to solemnly testify of the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, to solemnly testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Summarize the entire ministry that Paul received from the Lord Jesus. So it's too crucial for us to have an adequate understanding of grace. If we do not understand grace, we could not understand what is that ministry Paul received from the Lord. In this verse, after this verse, he continued to remind or exhort the believers, the elders of Ephesus. He said, after my departure, there will be wolves coming among the believers, and some will be raised up to speak falsely. Here, Paul was exhorting, even warning the elders of Ephesus. He warned them of the coming danger, that is, the wolves will come and the false teachers will be raised up to speak erroneous words, teaching. Did Paul leave? Whether or not he left someone in Ephesus is not the main point. But the main point here is that he said, I commit you to the word of the grace of God. I commit you to God and the word of the grace of God. From 1 Timothy, we know that, yes, he left Timothy in Ephesus to exhort some not to teach anything other than God's economy. Yes, Paul left Timothy in Ephesus, but in Acts 20, Paul did not mention Timothy, but he said for the church that he loved, the church in Ephesus, he commit this church to God and his word of grace. So, brothers and sisters, to Paul, grace is too great a matter to Paul. You can say that grace summarizes the entire ministry that Paul received from the Lord. That's why he said here, he solemnly testified the gospel of the grace of God. And the grace is also the content of all of Paul's epistles, because he said, I commit you to God and to the word of grace. So here we see that Paul, in his epistle, he revealed to us what grace is. At the beginning, our brother has helped us from Watchman Nee, collective work of Watchman Nee, that what grace is. He has shown us what it is, the nature of this grace. In order to enter into this Roman numeral, I would also like to ask this question again. What is grace? I don't know. Have you remember the answer from Roman numeral 1? We must memorize this point. Not just to memorize. It should become our constitution. What is grace? Grace is God Himself in Christ as the Spirit given to us, gained by us, and enjoyed by us. We should memorize this. We need to be constituted with this. You may have memorized this, but you may not actually fully understand it. What is grace? Ask yourself. Well, the first thing that many Christians, after their salvation, many have heard or have their natural understanding. They may even go online to search. Actually, these few days, I also searched online, what is grace? I found one that matched my past understanding. I even taught this on the internet. It tells us that grace is God's favor, showing favor to those who do not deserve. Actually, this is not wrong. According to King James Bible, when you talk about Mary as a woman who finds favor of God, the translation translates the word grace as favor. So that's why people define grace as unmerited favor. I also taught this in the past. But today, after this meeting, after this message, we must have an adequate understanding. Grace is far, far greater than this, than the unmerited favor. Oh, grace is God Himself in Christ as the Spirit given to us. And what? Gained by us. Enjoyed by us. Even among the saints, among us, we may have a somewhat erroneous understanding or utterance of grace. In the crystallization study of the Gospel of God, in the Epistle of Romans, Brother Lee said that in our hymn 707, here says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done." This is from our hymn book. Count your blessings, name them one by one. But Brother Lee pointed out that some Chinese translators of this hymn translated blessing into grace. So it says, count your grace, name them one by one. You know, in some localities, they also have a meeting to count God's grace, right? But yes, we do need to count God's grace. But if we count it with an inadequate understanding, what you are counting is merely blessings, not grace. So, brothers and sisters, we need to count God's grace. But that means to count this triune God in Christ as the Spirit working Himself into us to be our enjoyment. That should be what we count. That should be what we talk about when we come together. When we review our year, we should talk about how we have enjoyed the triune God Himself, how He has dispensed Himself more into us to be our enjoyment, and how this grace has become something even visible to others. That is should be our understanding of grace. Here in this book, Crystallization Study of the Gospel of God, in the Epistle of Romans, Brother Lee says, he said, grace is the top revelation in God's New Testament economy. In God's New Testament economy, grace is the top revelation. Brother Lee said, in the Old Testament, grace was spoken quite a few times, but it is mentioned in the Old Testament sense. Whereas grace mentioned in the New Testament is the top revelation. And Brother Lee, in the same chapter, he went on to say that in the sense, in the New Testament economy, grace is the biggest truth, the biggest revelation. Oh, notice how great grace is. He said, grace is the biggest truth and the biggest revelation. It is as important as incarnation. When God was incarnated, He became grace to us. Our brother has mentioned also that in John, law was given to us through Moses, but grace and reality came through Jesus Christ. In our the footnotes of the Recovered Version tell us that this word can also be translated as become. Oh, grace came through the incarnation, through word became flesh. So in the New Testament economy, grace is the top revelation, the biggest revelation, and also the biggest truth. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we need to ask the Lord for mercy that we would really enter into this message and we would all remember these utterances. Let's read Romans 2. Paul, in his ministry, solemnly testified of the gospel of the grace of God to minister God into people. In his writings, Paul unveils to us what the grace of God is. Underneath this, we have 7 points. We will see how Paul revealed grace in his writings. A, grace is God's visitation to stay in man, to be born in man, and to be one with man. How can we say that grace and reality came through Jesus Christ? We can explain it in this way. What is grace? Grace is God's visitation. But not only so, He also stays in us, and to be born in us, to be one with us. When we talk about God's visitation, in the Old Testament, God visited Abraham. He visited Gideon. He visited them, but He also left. God did not remain. God did not become one with Abraham or Gideon. But in the New Testament economy, when we come to Luke, when we talk about Mary conceiving of the Holy Spirit, we see the visitation of God, not only in the sense of coming, but staying, but also of being born in man. Luke 1 show us that which is conceived in Mary was of the Holy Spirit. He was not only born in man, but also become one with man. So in Paul's writings, in the last verse of this point, 2 Timothy 4:22, he says, in the last epistle of Paul, which is 2 Timothy, in the last verse, that's the last verse of all Paul's writing, he wrote, the Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. When Paul finished his course, when he finished all his writings, at the last epistle, at the last word, that must be the most important word. That must be the most condensed word. There he said, the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Indeed, when the church degraded at that time, the church has degraded. And it was in a intensified degradation. At that time, Paul had an exhortation and also a blessing to the believer. That is, that the grace will be with us, that the Lord will be with us, our spirit. Just like the previous point, we need to turn to our spirit, access our spirit, to come back to our spirit, because the Lord is in our spirit. This Lord today is the pneumatic Christ as the spirit in us, in our spirit. He being with our spirit is grace being with us. So what is grace? Grace is God's visitation, but it's not just a one-time event, but to stay with us, to be born in us, and to become one with us. Last read, B. The Christian living must be the living of grace, the experience of grace, so that we may carry out our stewardship of grace, the dispensing of grace. What is the Christian living? It is a living of grace. What is a living of grace? Number one, it is to experience grace. Number two, to dispense grace. What is a Christian living? A Christian living is a living of grace. What is the living of grace? It is a living that experience grace and dispense grace. Father Lee, in another book, in the book Grace and Law in God's Economy, in that book, in chapter 3, Brother Lee speaks even in a more effective way. He said our living should be an experience of a total experience of the process and consummated triune God. Christian life should be the total experience of the process and consummated triune God. In other words, we should experience Christ. We should experience grace, dispense grace, not once in a while, but throughout our entire human living. Our human life should be the total experience of the process and consummated triune God. Experiencing grace and dispensing grace. That is the stewardship of grace. And that is to solemnly testify concerning the gospel of the grace of God. In February 1st, in Taipei, we had a gospel conference. In that meeting, we have 12 saints giving their testimonies. I was deeply impressed. I cannot share all of them with you, but I'd like to just share some of them. Because their living really is the total experience of grace. One sister, Zhou, she was a responsible one for a company. She said the more successful she was, the more that success became her pride. She became very controlling. She wanted to control everything. But actually, she realized the more she had, the less she possessed. But after she was saved, she opened her home. She preached the gospel with her friends. She shepherded the saints. She enjoyed grace. She even prayed to the Lord, "Lord, oh, may I not be the only one enjoy grace. I want my whole family to enjoy grace." She testified that her family saw the change in her. In the past, she was very controlling, very much grabbing everything into her hand. But now she is one for others, praying for others. So in the last few years, they have brought 20 new ones to the Lord, including her parents, her mom, and her elder sister. Her mother even was Taoist for many years, but she was saved. The most difficult one was saved in her house. You know, our family is the most difficult to be saved because they see us all the time. They say, "Oh, I don't believe what you say. Look at your living." But on the other hand, it should be the easiest, because when we truly enjoy grace, when we truly dispense grace, they should be the first one to experience it. Another sister, she testified that she was taking a governmental test. So she was studying in a cramming school and was under much pressure. And the sister was, others, her classmates were wondering why she doesn't look anxious at all. Why is she so peaceful? She said, "It is because I have Lord in me. How about we pray together?" So in this last year, she brought three of her classmates to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that is the total experience of grace. This gospel of grace should become our experience every day. We should experience grace and dispense grace. Another brother, he went into a company. He was just about to labor and expand. But then and something happened to his company that they would start cutting down the workers. So he was worried and anxious. He did not want to get up in the morning. But then he turned to the Lord. And he went to the riverside and started praying. Pray, read God's word. And he realized that he truly experienced God as his power. So in this entire process of his company closing, transferring, he truly experienced grace and become a man of praise. Even he worked overtime, he still was so happy to go to all the meetings. People asking, why are you so happy? He said, I'm happy because I'm going to the church meetings. And then so his colleagues follow him. What happened? He experienced not him, but God's grace. It's no longer who lives, but it is Christ who lives in him. So brother, sister, what should be our living? Our living should be a living of grace. Not once in a while, but grace should be the total experience of our life. We should experience grace and dispense grace. Let's read 1 and 2. Our word should convey grace to the hearers. 2, in the church life, when we have grace upon us, the church will be built up and the grace we receive will be visible. The more we experience grace, the more we can speak the word of grace that builds up others when we meet with others. And even more, this grace will be enjoyed by us to such extent that people can see the grace upon you. Grace can become visible. Acts 11:23 here talk about Barnabas. He came and he arrived and saw the grace of God. Rejoice at that time. Although many Christians were being persecuted, but they enjoy grace to such an extent that when people see them, they do not see persecution. They see grace. Oh, we should experience grace to such an extent that grace becomes visible to others. C, the practical life and building up of the body of Christ come forth out of the inward enjoyment of Christ as the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians, we see that the reality of the body of Christ requires a living, a building, and this living and building all together depends on our enjoyment of grace, enjoyment of Christ as grace. 1, the enjoyment of Christ solves all the problems in the church through the work of the cross. Actually, all the problems in the church come from our lack of enjoyment of Christ. If we do not enjoy Christ enough, we will have a lot of opinions. You will have your decision, I will have my opinions, you will have your preference, then there will be divisions. But when we enjoy Christ and experience the work of the cross, all the problems in the church will be solved. 2, the enjoyment of Christ issues in the growth in life to produce us as the precious materials for the building of the church. Not only should we not have problems in the church, through the cross and through the enjoyment of Christ, but we should positively grow. We are God's farm. We are God's building. We should grow. We should grow as a plant on God's cultivated land to become precious materials, gold, silver, and precious stones. 3, the enjoyment of Christ develops our gifts by the growth in life. In the church in Corinth, indeed, many saints receive gifts from God, but those gifts must be for the body, must be exercised in the body. And for these gifts to be exercised in a proper way requires growth in life. The more we grow in life, the more the gifts that we receive, such as a word of wisdom, such a word of faith, such as a gift of healing, such as a gift of tongues and interpretation of tongue, regardless of what kind of gift it is, we all should grow in life so that we can function and develop these gifts in the body and for the body, so that the body may be built up. D, the new covenant ministers enjoy Christ as their all-sufficient grace through sufferings. And the ministry of the new covenant is produced by revelation plus suffering. God's New Testament economy is God's New Testament ministry. And to share, to take part in this ministry, we must also experience what Paul experienced, that is revelation plus suffering. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul said that he received revelation, but lest that he would be lifted up because of the exceeding revelation he received, a throne was given to him. And also in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, you also talk about how God comforts us in all our affliction. Paul shows us in 2 Corinthians that to experience, to be part of this ministry, we must have revelation. But revelation is by itself is not enough. We need sufferings for this revelation to be constituted into us. And actually, the more we suffer, the more we enjoy grace. Paul experienced this. It is not him, but the grace of God that made him who he was. One, Christ as grace becomes power, tabernacling over the new covenant ministers, overshadowing them in their weakness to become their dwelling place to sustain, support, maintain, protect, and keep them. Two, we need the grace of God in Christ applied to us as strength and power for our move and our protection. Brother, sister, we are all familiar with this verse. He said, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is perfected in weakness. So I like to boast in my weakness so that the grace of God may overshadow me. The footnotes says that the tabernacle was made out of two verbs. It means to tabernacle over something. That means that this grace, it should become like a tabernacle covering Paul. In other words, Paul lived within this grace, within the power of this grace. But we need to ask ourselves, do we have this experience? We must admit that. That not that much. None of us like sufferings. We don't have to pray for sufferings, so we will not be taken advantage of by the enemy. But we need sufferings, brothers and sisters. Colossians 1 says that Paul says, I rejoice because of the sufferings that you went through. Because we will make up the lack of the affliction of Christ for his body. So we cannot share the affliction of Christ's suffering for redemption, but for the building up of the body of Christ, we need to share his affliction. We need to share Christ's sufferings. And the more we experience this kind of suffering, the more we enjoy grace. In this point, I have a burden. because recently in Taiwan, among the churches, we have an awakening. We feel that we owe Brother Lee, we have come short of his expectation. Brother Lee came to Taiwan to let the Gaodeng way, but gradually this matter of gospel preaching disappeared. It did not become our daily living. It became an event. We may say, oh, this month we will preach the gospel, or this season we will have a gospel meeting. But throughout these years, we deeply felt that that's what we have done is not Brother Lee's leading. Brother Lee's leading is that gospel should be our living. Gospel should be a structure of our church life. It should be our daily and weekly practice. So we have a deep repentance, turn and pick up Brother Lee's burden again. So in these last few years, all the responsible brothers, we encourage one another, exhort one another, we charge one another to take the lead, to take 2 hours a week to go out to preach the gospel. Brothers, sisters, we can all testify. The more we do this, the more we experience the feeling of the lack of the affliction of Christ for his body. The more we experience grace, the grace of the Lord tabernacling over us. You know, to take 2 hours a week for the gospel, you will realize that nothing is more difficult than this if you do practice this. You know, to visit saints may not be that difficult, but to go out on the street to knock on strangers' doors, you will feel, oh, this is so challenging, so difficult. You may be able to do it once in a while, but to do it every week, you may feel, oh, I just did it last week. Should I do it this week? Oh. But brothers and sisters, we all can testify as we practice this steadfastly and encourage one another. More and more brothers and sisters will be able to do this by experiencing the grace of the Lord tabernacling over us. And more gospel can become our regular living. The more we practice this, the more we experience grace. Will there be any sufferings? Of course. When you go out to preach the gospel, you will see a long face. You may be even mocked, despised by some people. You may be hurt in your feeling. Your self-esteem may be hurt. But the more we turn back to the Spirit, the more you realize that the more faithful you are serving the Lord, the more the Lord also will bring the sounds of peace to you. And more gospel friends will also be saved through our faithful gospel preaching. There will be more newly baptized ones, and the more people we can shepherd and visit. You know, some of you may say, oh, you know, we are weak, and let this to the leading brothers to do. But what are we? We are sparrows and swallows between the two altars. Yes, we are frail and fragile. Yes, we are the swallow and the... But what? We can take refuge in the bronze altar. We can beget the young. So we need to experience grace, experience the tabernacling of the grace. The best way is to go out. Go out every week to preach the gospel of grace. Preach the gospel of grace. That's come to E. Christ, as the grace of God, is the good land for us to enter into, enjoy, experience, partake of, and possess. The more we experience grace, the more we realize that Christ is this good land. 2 Corinthians show us that we have been rooted in this Christ as the good land, and we are being built up. We are on this good land, absorbing all his riches to grow, to be transformed, and be built up, and to walk in him. Point F, grace is the divine trinity transmitted into us for our enjoyment, the manifestation of triune God in his embodiment in three aspects, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. you realize this definition is matched Roman numeral 1. What is grace? Grace is the divine trinity transmitted into us for our enjoyment. That is the triune God, the manifestation of the triune God in his embodiment in three aspects. The crucial verse here is 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's read one. The grace of the Lord is the Lord himself as life to us for our enjoyment. The love of God is God himself as the source of the grace of the Lord. And the fellowship of the Spirit is the Spirit himself as the transmission of the grace of the Lord with the love of God for our participation. Sisters on 2. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord is mentioned first because this book is on the grace of Christ. Together, 3. The Holy Spirit as the circulation, the transmission, the grace of Christ with the love of the Father is the supply in our Christian life and church life. A. The entire church life depends upon 2 Corinthians 13:14. B. The current of the divine trinity within us as revealed in 2 Corinthians 13:14 is our spiritual pulse. So brothers and sisters, our entire church life should be an experience of grace. The Lord is our grace. And the God's love is the source of this grace. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit is the transmission of this grace. And this should be our church life, a life of experiencing grace. G, the product of the grace of God in God's economy is the church as the poem of the triune God to exhibit the surpassing riches of his grace with his infinite wisdom and divine design. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that when God continually working himself into us to be our enjoyment, eventually he will produce his masterpiece. That is a poem. It's a product of grace, which is to exhibit the surpassing riches of his grace. Let's read Roman number 3. The grace of the Lord Jesus dispensed into his chosen ones throughout the New Testament age consummates in the New Jerusalem, in which the process and consummated triune God will be the grace enjoyed by all the believers for eternity. Hallelujah! Not only that we enjoy grace in this age, but in eternity future, in eternity, we will be an exhibition of this grace, enjoying the triune God continually. So in the last epistle of John, which is the last book of the New Testament, Revelation 22:21 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. How good this is. In the New Testament, the three main writers, they end their writings with grace. We talk about Paul, 2 Timothy 4:22, and then we read Revelation 22:21, and then in Peter, 2 Peter 3:18, it says that in the grace of God, we should grow in the knowledge of him. Yes, in the New Testament economy, grace is the top revelation, the highest revelation. Today, we have received the grace to be the stewardship, steward of grace, to testify the gospel of the grace of God.